Today is the third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday, which comes from the first word of the Mass in Latin, Gaudete, rejoice. You heard it at the in the introit that the choir sang just before we entered Mass. Rejoice in the midst of this season of Advent. There's this Sunday of rejoicing. And it's interesting that the main figure of this day is also, like last Sunday, like the second Sunday of Advent, is St. John the Baptist, which, you know, he's not really sort of a feel-good kind of guy, you know? St. John the Baptist is very intense, calling for repentance, calling for a conversion. And we see him today in a particularly poignant moment when he is in prison, you know, after Herod has imprisoned him. And he sends some of his disciples to ask Jesus this question: are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? And when we look at that just immediately, and certainly more modern sort of scripture commentary takes that as a question of that John is looking for reassurance from Jesus, that perhaps he's sort of wavering in his, since he's undergoing this persecution. But it's an interesting, I read this in the writings of Pope Benedict, but also I think it comes from the tradition of the fathers of the church, have seen this question in a different light. Not that John's faith was wavering, but that John, in sending his disciples to ask this question of Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another, that he was safely delivering his disciples to being disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that has always been John's mission. He said, I must decrease, and he must increase. And so he's sending his disciples to Jesus, and he's setting up Jesus with a really nice slow pitch, you know, so that he can proclaim who he is. And Jesus does. When this question comes, he says, well, tell, Jesus said to them in reply, go and tell John what you hear and what you see. The blind regain their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. Those are the words of the prophet Isaiah that we just heard in the first reading. And they can pretty much be summed up with a word that Isaiah applied to this figure who would do all of these things, and that is Savior. That Jesus is the Savior. That's what his name means, actually, in Hebrew. God saves. And this is necessary for every disciple of Jesus Christ to see and hear, to hear and to see and to encounter the Lord Jesus as Savior. Because if we don't, if we haven't encountered the Lord Jesus in that way, our conversion is incomplete. We don't really know who he is. And that's one of the things that troubles me the most, frankly. I am not as troubled, frankly, by people who are, you know, ranting and raving against God and faith or the Lord Jesus Christ or something like that. Because to me, at least they care, right? You don't rant and rave unless you care. What really bothers me are the people who can just sort of take or leave Jesus, who can't be bothered, who are indifferent about him. Because that means they don't really know him yet. And so I want to put to you, I'm thankful for John the Baptist. And that's the source of real joy, is to know Jesus as Savior. That's that perduring joy that nothing can take away from us, knowing Jesus Christ as Savior of the world and your Savior. And so we thank John the Baptist today for allowing Jesus again to proclaim himself in this way. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. I do for you what no one else can do for you, and I do for you what you cannot do for yourself. The blind cannot regain their sight. The lame cannot walk. Lepers cannot be cleansed. The deaf cannot hear. The dead cannot rise. And the poor do not have the good news proclaimed to them. But Jesus, Savior, Jesus, Lord, does these things. I want you to take a moment here and think of something, and I don't think, if you're anything like me, it won't take you very long, of something that you have tried and tried and tried and tried to do and failed. One of those things that you said, I'm never going to do that again. And in 2 minutes, you've just done it again. Or that thing like, I'm going to start doing this. And then at the end of the day, you haven't done it. St. Paul speaks of this. Why is it I do those things I don't intend to do? And I don't do those things that I intend to do. That's the trap of sin. That's the slavery of sin from which we need a Savior. And so in those places, you and I are blind and cannot see. We are lame and we cannot walk. We are lepers and we cannot be cleansed. We are deaf and we cannot hear. We are dead and we cannot rise. We are poor and nobody cares about us. And to us, in that state of our need and misery, Jesus comes as Savior. This is another line from Pope Benedict. Again, this beautiful work of his, of Jesus of Nazareth. I encourage you to read that. There's actually a short little part of it that's about the infancy narratives of Jesus, about Advent and Christmas. I encourage you, beautiful reading. But this is a place where he's talking about, he says that where God finds us absolutely irresistible is in our misery and in our need for him. And that calls forth irresistibly the mercy of God. We think very often we have to get ourselves sort of prettied up in order to present ourselves to God. But he says, no. Come in your need for me. And let me set you free. Let me save you. In the Gospels, when Jesus is walking on the Sea of Galilee, walking past the apostles, you know, St. Peter sees that. He's, wow, you know, Peter is always very excited about things. Lord, let me do this. I want to come. And so Jesus says, come. And so Peter does. He starts walking on the water. And then all of a sudden he realizes, I'm walking on the water. And he starts to sink. His faith wavers. But he says the right thing. He says, and this is in the Greek of the New Testament. I don't know a whole lot. I haven't memorized a whole lot of lines. This will tell you something about me. This is a line I've memorized in the Greek of the original of the New Testament. St. Peter shouts out at that point, Kyrie, suson me. Lord, save me. And at that point, Peter really knows the Lord, because he comes to him as Savior. So I want you to dig into your heart. And like I say, if you're like me, it won't take much digging. To where you need to be saved. Where no one or nothing, including and most especially yourself, can't do anything for you. And let him save you. Kyrie, I want you to learn this line with me, okay? This line from the words of Scripture itself. Kyrie sousson me. Let's say it all together. Kyrie sousson me. Lord, save me. Just a couple of last week or so, I had an incredible experience. Just someone walked into my office, and this person came and said, talked about something, this burden that this person had carried for a long time. And it really caused a separation from God. And said, you know, the other night I couldn't sleep. And I woke up and I was just pacing around the house. And I was kind of replaying all this over and over again. And all of a sudden, it was gone. And I knew it was gone. And I knew it wasn't coming back. And she said, then I made it to Mass. I went to confession. And she came in just to sort of make sure she was doing everything right. And I said, you're doing just fine. You have encountered the Lord Jesus as your Savior, who did for you what for many years you nor anybody else could do for you. That is joy. The joy of knowing the Lord Jesus as your Savior. That is what John the Baptist does for us today. He wants to make sure that we safely transition to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means those who know Jesus for who he really is, the salvation of God.